Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and it is June 18th. That's Tuesday. And actually, this is really day three of the birthday present that keeps on giving. And of course, that's Donald Trump's company that does nothing. The company that does nothing. Yeah, the company that does nothing is down another $10 today. You know, I was discussing this with my brother just moments ago, and we were talking about essentially what amounts to, well, as I've been describing it, a dead cat bounce. So what happened is today, well, here, let's get some context on this. First, he lost like $450 million. By the way, I'm speaking of the maniac. So Donald lost $450 million on his birthday. Then the day after his birthday, he lost another probably $350 million. So that takes you up to $800 million. These are round numbers, you know, give or take. You know, when you're talking about a billion, what's the difference? So then today was the best one of all, because today, depending, I mean, you know, it's still trading and it moves up and down a little bit here and there. But essentially, he lost about $1.5 billion today. So $800 million and $1.5 billion, that's $2.3 billion in 3 days. If you ask me, that's a birthday present. And like I've said, no one deserves it more than Donald J. Trump. You know, he's sitting there looking at it, and just think about him. Just have this image. The man's broke. Except there's this company that doesn't exist, which at one point for him was worth about $7 billion. Something like that. Close. At one point. The problem is that was when it was $80 a share. Now it's down, like I say, give or take. It's been 25. Right now it's sitting at about 27. So yeah, he's down about, well, here, look, I'm good at this. 80 to 30 is 50. So add another 3, 53 off of 80. It's right around 70%. So Donald has lost roughly 70% of his, I don't know, $6-7 billion, whatever it was. So that would be about $5 billion out of seven. Well, it still leaves him with $2 billion. Only problem is, at the rate this is going down, he's got to get between now and September. Because the day that he can unlock this thing is September. And, of course, this is June, July, August, September. He's got 3 months to go. By the time he gets to September, he's going to owe them money. If you could do that in the stock market, which you can't. In the commodity market, you can. In the stock market, though, you can't. So, yeah, the best he can do is go to zero. But I've said before, I see this thing holding some value, like somewhere between about 50 cents and a dollar a share. And that's not because it really has any value, but it's because somebody's always willing to spend 50 cents and then sell it at 49 and lose. I mean, you know, the whole thing is ridiculous. And you know, people have sat here and pointed to this thing and said, Well, he really is a billionaire. Yeah, he's a billionaire, okay. On another planet. Because on this planet, all he's going to see out of this is about zero. As I've said before, the company has lost $58 million in its 3 years of existence. And I say the company. Yeah, it's a company. It's a special purpose acquisition company. That is, it's a company that acquired another company. And in theory, the company that was acquired was supposed to be a media company. Sadly, I do not have a laughing box here. Because if I had one, or if Joe has one over there, we could play that for 58 minutes and then walk away. Because that's about all there is out here for this guy. But he's still got between the 18th and the 27th to pretend that he could be a president. Oh, very good. Joe came up with one. Well, you know, when you're dealing with top people like Joe, I mean, there's no limit to what can be accomplished. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. But at any rate, he's sitting here with 9 days to go. And you know, it's sort of funny, and you've probably heard some of these things today. James Carville said essentially what I've been saying, which is that I can't imagine that he would show up for this event. Because how could it possibly be anything but a disaster? I mean, he's going to get up in front of a microphone, which they're going to turn off. Because when he's done, they're going to shut it off. And then Joe Biden's going to speak. Now, there is another possibility besides him not showing up. Carville's betting on a no-show. And they talked about, you know, the bet idea. And he said, if I were a betting man, which I am, he said, I would bet this guy isn't coming. But there's some other theories out here, and I think that there are some that are well worth considering. For example, he could show up. He could lose his mind in the studio, start screaming hysterically, and run out, which, by the way, he has done. You know, he did that on 60 Minutes when he walked out on them. I think he also walked out on CNN. So, you know, there are a lot of possibilities here. One thing that is not a possibility. I mean, here's one that is absolutely impossible. There will not be a straight out debate on the 27th. The two of those guys will not stand up in a television studio and argue the issues of 2024. That's not going to happen. Donald can scream. He can yell. He can go over to Biden and yell in his ear. He can grab the microphone and throw it at somebody. I mean, these are all things he could do. As far as getting into a studio and having a discussion of some issues, I mean, that's impossible. I mean, can you imagine him walking into this studio and having a discussion with Joe Biden about the future of NATO? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it can't happen, and it won't happen. Not even remotely possible. And then, of course, you got all these crazy Trumpers running around Washington trying to be better than the other guy when it comes to obsequiousness. Who can be most obsequious to Donald Trump? Like I always say, go look it up. Look it up. But you can probably guess very easily. But these people are the most obsequious that I have ever seen in politics. The most. It's absolutely pathetic. But the number of people involved continues to shrink. Today, there were a whole lot of people saying that Donald Trump can't possibly get the votes of women. Yes, Michael, we were including the after hours trading of down 13%, which brings it to somewhere around 20% today, 25%. It depends. You know, it's still trading. Michael's looking at Donald's company, which I shouldn't even say is company because it's obviously not a company. It's something, but it's not that. $26.81. The low was 22 when the dead cat bounce began, and the high has been 80. So from 80, it's sitting around 26, and it's on its way to a dollar. That's just a projection, but probably a very good one. Okay. How about all the lies that are being so widely spread about Joe Biden now? In fact, you know, everybody talked about it before, but increasingly everybody realizes that they're just making things up by the minute. The man can't think, he can't talk, he can't see, he can't hear, he can't walk. Well, you know, he's struggling to walk. Yeah. Even my brother, who of course is an anti-Trumper, but he can't stop talking about the fact that Barack Obama took Joe Biden's hand and walked him off the stage. Well, as I say all the time, Franklin Roosevelt couldn't even stand up. Franklin Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. Franklin Roosevelt, when he stood, which he, you know, if you could call it standing, I mean, they had braces on him that were strong enough to hold him up because he couldn't stand up. The man couldn't walk. He had polio. And what did that have to do with anything? One of the greatest presidents of all time. And we know what Joe Biden is doing in Europe. He is literally saving the world. I mean, that's the funny part. People should be giving him medals. He should be honored. He has held together the entire effort from 1945, 6, 7, 8, put together by Cordell Hull, George Marshall, and Harry Truman. It was a plan that in a period of 80 years has truly saved the world from atomic ruination. Because we were heading right there. And who knows what would have happened to Germany one more time after being leveled by the United States. But instead, we walked in, we put it back together again, we created NATO with 12 countries, and have now expanded it to 32 countries, including Finland and Sweden. And let me tell you something. Vladimir Putin can sit over there and mouth off all he wants the same way as his puppet, Donald Trump. The two of them can mouth off about everything that they think they can do. But if they think that they can take on the United States and those 32 countries that make up NATO, well, I can tell you right now, forget it. Donald can't do it himself, and neither can Vladimir Putin. They've got a mess. They've made a mess out of themselves. And they can have meetings between Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. Huh. Yeah, go have a meeting. You can meet all you want. It's not going to help. The gross domestic product of NATO countries plus America, it's roughly 50 some trillion dollars. The gross domestic product of China is about 16 trillion. Remember now, 50 some trillion, then 16 trillion. And now let's go to Russia. 1 trillion. Because they've got some gas stations. I mean, that's it. After all these years, after Lenin's great revolution, and now I'm not making fun of Lenin. I mean, there was a guy who was principled and he meant well. But after all the years, they're at the bottom of the pile. They've got essentially nothing. You know, my students at all levels, I always have them watch Dr. Zhivago. Dr. Zhivago, of course, one of the greatest films of all time, made in 1965. I was 14 years old. I went to it when it came out in the theater. That's true. And you know what? You want to know about Russia? Go see the movie. Really, one of the best ever. Tells you everything you need to know about Russia. Really does. Excellent movie. Russia is a disaster and has been since the day it started. It's devastatingly corrupt and ineffective revolution. I mean, they had great intentions. Karl Marx wanted to do the right thing. He meant for the workers to throw off their chains and to create a workers' state. There's just one problem. No one will cooperate. No one. You know, and I've even told the story on here. It's for good reason that no one will cooperate. I mean, trust me. If Joe, working in the other room here to keep everything alive in this studio, if he works all day and makes $100 and I come in here laughing and joking and tell him I want 50 of his dollars, he's going to throw me out. Those are his dollars. That's communism. No one's going to do it. I mean, the people that can take the money will do it, but the people who have to give it won't give it. And don't talk about taxes. This is a completely different situation. You know, if you need the roads paved, you got to pay for it. Somebody's going to do the work. Somebody's got to pay for it. The government takes the money and it pays. This is not a Donald Trump scheme. The guy that does the work gets the money. That's simple. That's capitalism. And even the great Friedrich Hayek, if anybody's ever heard of him, which you should know who he is, wrote a book, 1944, called The Road to Serfdom. And the whole point of The Road to Serfdom was that if you turn all of your rights over to the government, you will end up essentially a serf. You'll have nothing, and you'll be close to a slave. But here's the point. No one's doing that. No one in the United States is doing it. We're not giving our stuff away. We're not turning all the power over to the government. In fact, Donald Trump wants all the power, and we won't give it to him. We don't have kings here. We fight it out, we argue, we debate, and then whoever wins, wins. Not like January of 2021, where whoever wins gets the office and whoever loses goes to Washington and starts busting in windows, smashing the buildings, trying to kill the police. No, we don't do that. I mean, Trump, yes. The rest of us, no. So I just have to tell you that we're not going to be serfs. We are not a bunch of Marxists. We're not giving our money away. We're just paying for the things that we want to buy. You know, if you want to go and get a cup of coffee, you got to pay for it. That's all. We take it out of your taxes. Is there a better way to do it? I think there is. And I've given you the name of the book. It's by a lady named Monica Prasad. And the name of the book is The Land of Too Much. If you read nothing else this summer, and my guess is most people will read nothing at all this summer, but if you read nothing else this summer, go read Monica Prasad's book, The Land of Too Much, because you will find out a lot about the potential for tax policy that would work great in the United States and which is actually very effective in Europe. And then what you have is you have people here who run around calling them Euro trash. It's just, it's really terrible. It's really so non-productive. It's not true. And it's just Donald Trump. It's all Donald Trump. And I grant you, he's mimicking people like Adolf Hitler. I don't know. Is he as good as Hitler? Probably not, because he's not going to get power again. And Hitler, of course, got power, tried to take over the world, and ended up putting a bullet in his head. And honestly, I don't think Trump's going to get that far. I think Trump's done what he's going to do, and it's all over. And the sad part is that the person who suffered the greatest, besides the American people, the person who suffered the greatest was poor Hillary Clinton, who was absolutely one of the best potential presidents in the history of this country. She was probably more qualified, more prepared. She had an entire government ready to go, put together. I mean, all she had to do was walk in and everything was there. And Trump found a way to derail it. Really, I shouldn't even say Trump. Mark Burnett. Because increasingly, people are aware of the fact that Mark Burnett created all of this. In his imagination, and eventually in the imagination of many people in the United States, including the kids who would run around yelling, "You're fired! You're fired!" Because it did find its way into American culture. All that Trump nonsense. But that's all it is nonsense. And, you know, when I say it's nonsense, I don't know if you saw an interview last night, but boy, was it good. And that was the interview of Anthony Fauci by Rachel Maddow, and it was extraordinary. She's good. I mean, when she's good, she's incredible. Sometimes she doesn't hit the mark perfectly, but boy, she did last night. I mean, very, very well. And Fauci was also great. And of course, Fauci's been doing the rounds today as well after he started with Rachel. And the reason is because he wrote a book. I haven't read it yet, but I can tell you that I heard him describing it, and I think that you could trust his description of what he wrote. And basically, people like him in medicine, research. I mean, they are very fearful for the world, because people do not have the slightest idea of what science is. They have no guess. They really don't. They think that science is everything that works is science, and everything that doesn't work is fake. But of course, that's not how it works at all. What actually happens is that through trial and error, science figures it out. Eventually, it can be pretty tough in the meantime while trying to figure it out. And of course, it could end up, which you hope it doesn't, like the famous movie with Will Smith, where he's the scientist and he's the only one left trying to figure out what the proper antibodies would be that would save the world, which didn't save his family or almost anybody else, except for there were some people running around who were naturally immune. And then, of course, there was also Will Smith's dog, which is the only reason I cannot watch the movie, because every time that dog gets killed, I just can't do it. I just can't. I like dogs too much, but it's a great movie. And you know, Fauci is, you know, right in the middle of that whole thing. How do you I know it's I Am Legend. Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm not a legend, but that's the movie. Yeah. Excellent movie. It's so funny. I see a name on top of what you're writing over there, Joe, and takes me a minute before I realize that it's you. But anyway, that's all right. But anyway, you know, I just got to say that, I can't watch it because of the dog. But it is a problem, and we are headed in that direction. But it's worse than that. And Fauci made it clear last night. It is worse than that. Because there are people running around this country right now who want to kill. Really. They want to kill Fauci. They want to kill Fauci's family. They want to kill anybody that's been attached in any way to Fauci. They're crazy. They want to kill. And I talked a little bit yesterday about Donald, and everybody's been discussing in the last couple of days this part of Donald where he wants to execute everybody. He just wants to go wild. He wants to execute everybody that disagrees with him. You disagree with Trump, you're done. Execute him. And I mentioned yesterday, Bill Barr was interviewed on this, and they said, you know, is this really true? And he said, well, not exactly. He said, you know, something like that. You know, did he specifically name a person? He says he might have. I might not have been there when he was doing it. Does he do that? Does he get crazy and start threatening to execute people? Yes. Yeah, that he does. So really, is that who you want in the White House? Some guy who gets angry one day and starts threatening to kill people? Execute people? Because that's what he wants to do. He's ready to do it. But see, I know that he'll never get close to the White House, and you'll know it too in 9 days. Because when you see what he does at this debate, unless he does what Carville says, you know, Carville says he's not coming. But at this point, I think he's got to show up. So if he shows up, then it's got to be the second one, which is he goes berserk and runs out of the studio, or he goes berserk and they have to take him out in a straitjacket. And that could be too. So it's any of those possibilities. The straitjacket one sounds pretty realistic to me. But we'll see. Anyway, Bill Barr says, yes, that is an accurate description of what Donald does. He threatens to execute people. And then he sort of hesitates and, you know, does this sort of thing. You know, he does all that. And then he goes, you know, you don't take it literally, right? You know, sort of like when Adolf Hitler said he was going to kill the Jews. Well, you don't take that literally. Come on. Don't be ridiculous. He wouldn't do that. Okay. But here's something we would do. And that is we would go to a great dinner at Wendy's. That I can tell you. And you can't go wrong there. You go to Wendy's for dinner, you're going to be very happy. Everything's going to be rigged so that you enjoy it thoroughly. I promise you, you'll never go to Wendy's and have a bad dinner. It's rigged to be good. Wings, smoked meat, pizza, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, patty melts, salads. Really? I mean, you can't go wrong. This is good eating in Chesterfield Valley. All you got to do is go to 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and you will find yourself at Wendy's, where you're going to thoroughly enjoy your dinner. And let me say that, you know, if you find yourself lost and you end up in Defiance, Missouri, then you see you got the same good deal. You'll still have Wendy's right there in Defiance. You'll be looking around and you'll go, what am I doing here? And the next thing you know, you'll say, wait a second, there's Wendy's. And everything will be fine. So either one, Defiance or Chesterfield Valley, you're going to love the food at Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, you're going to go to 4506 Hampton, and you're going to walk in looking for Al and AJ, because Al and AJ will do everything for you when it comes to jewelry. They'll design it. They'll do it your way. They'll do it some creative way that they suggest. They'll take you through all their cases of jewelry. You can see everything that they've got, and they've got an incredible inventory. And then on top of it all, yes, they buy and sell coins and jewelry, so you can do that. And finally, if you're walking out, you realize, you look at your hand, your wrist, and you look, you can't, the time, it's not working anymore. You don't have to walk out with it. You just turn it over to them. They'll fix it for you. They fix watches very, very well. They do a great job. Again, that's Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis. Now, want great men's clothing? Then you go to Clayton, because the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton is waiting for you with a giant inventory of suits and sport coats. And as I've said repeatedly, it's the sport coats that everybody's buying right now. They love sport coats. I don't know. I can't tell you why. I'd like to have the pants with it too, but I get it. Okay. If they want a sport coat, then that's what they get. But at any rate, the St. Louis Suit Company's got it all. Prices are excellent. Now, you know, I told the story about the guy who was in there with me that one day, and he walked up to Jay, that's the owner, and showed him the sleeve. And on the sleeve, the price said zero. And he was just trying to find out if that was real. And, of course, it turned out that that was true, that that coat was zero. And then Jay looked up at me and said, "Kaysen, it doesn't fit you." And the guy got it for zero, but Jay did make the point that, you know, don't go looking around the store for suits for zero, because you're not going to find them. But at any rate, that was, you know, one story along the way. But it's the St. Louis Suit Company. They've been there for 29 years, not because they're selling the suits for zero, but because the suits are great. And they also have got those tremendous ties. They are silk. They're nice looking. They look rich, but they cost $5. And everybody knows, if you can get a tie for $5, you've got yourself a bargain, especially if it's a top flight, top quality tie. And then somebody was yelling at me, "They make them in China." Well, you know what? They make a lot of stuff in China. You want a nice tie or not? I don't know where they make them. I don't look. They might make them in Vietnam. But wherever they make them, I know where they sell them. They sell them on the corner of Central and Forsyth in Clayton, and they've done it for 29 years, and they'll continue to do it. And let me assure you that if you're looking for wedding attire, that's also the place to go. Now, let me also add, you know, if you come sauntering into a studio with shorts and a white shirt, then what are you? How do you describe that kind of guy? I don't know. He's hiding. We're just laughing at you. That's all. White shirt and your shorts and your, you know, white tennis shoes. I mean, you look like you're ready to go out and play some tennis. Yeah. Can you play tennis?
No, but I am getting pretty darn good at pickleball.
Oh, wait a sec, pickleball. Well, wait a second. That's pretty funny. Do you even know who the pickleball impresario is in all of Missouri? Who brought pickleball to Missouri and practically to the entire country?
Biden.
Close to it. When you have a chance, Joe, you tell him about my friend Joe, because his name is actually Jim Berger. You heard the name Jim Berger? Isn't that amazing? He's the godfather of pickleball. No, that's the truth. They got, huh?
We'll have to catch up on that.
Yeah. I mean, he comes on the show and he's on the web. He's got a special page on the website. He's the pickleball master. You know, I'll tell you who went to him. The AAU went to Berger to find out about how they could infuse pickleball into the Olympics.
Oh, cool. They should.
Yeah, well, they're trying to do everything.
You want a bad dad joke?
Yeah, bad. Here you go. Yeah, go ahead.
Some people pick their nose, but I was just born with mine.
Did you get that?
No.
Okay. Why did the watch go on vacation?
To what?
Yeah. See, that's the kind of thing that Donald Trump would like, because he's, you know, mentally not capable. You know, maybe. Words come out and it doesn't mean anything. You know.
But that's Joe Biden.
Yeah. See, I could. I may just say it. I may just say it. No. I knew I could do that. Okay. So. Hey, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to bring the United States back to godliness. So that's something that we're working on. And, of course, that was suggested secretly, but it's not so secret anymore because they caught him on tape, and that was Sam Alito. Is he supposed to be doing that? Isn't he a Supreme Court justice? Isn't there something called separation of state, church and state? Oh, well, what's the difference? Just like when Trump 2 days ago told the Christians that he was going to bring power to Christianity. Well, that's Sam Alito is telling everybody that, you know, that's where the Supreme Court needs to be. It needs to bring godliness back to America. And that's, you know, they turn their flags upside down and cross their fingers and hope that the insurrectionists will bust up the Capitol one more time. But, you know, it's sort of interesting because Joe Biden, the president of the United States, very excellent president. Actually, you know, he's considered to be number 14, Vic. You know that. Biden is considered to be number 14 out of all of our presidents throughout history, according to the group that is responsible for identifying 1 through 46. So you know who the worst is? Oh, I got to tell you that, huh? Yeah. Donald keeps winning that all the time. It's the only thing he can win. He always comes in last among all the presidents. Did you look at the stock? Did you look at his company today? Vic.
What?
You got to look at his company.
I'm working.
Yeah, well, Donald's working too. The only problem is his company is dropping so precipitously. It is now down back to $27 a share because it dropped 20% more today. He's lost $2.5 billion, which he didn't even have, since his birthday 3 days ago.
Okay.
Hey, I think he deserves that present more than anybody. Yeah. Yeah. Vic's too busy working, trying to be a productive American, unlike some people in our government. Well, he's no longer in our government, but he would like to try to be. And I'll tell you what else he's doing, which I think is great, and that is his latest appeal to black voters. And, you know, there have been a lot of people out talking about this in the last couple of days. Most of them black people who actually have something to say about it because, you know, they know something about being black. Unlike Donald, who says he knows because he has a black friend. You know, sort of like if you recall when he was on TV that one day where he pointed to the guy in the crowd and he said, "There is my African American." And, you know, I just have to tell you that black people don't appreciate this. And they're actually getting pretty angry about the whole thing. And back in 2020, Donald played this game too. And he said that he was acquiring all this black vote. And he was sure that because of all the things he had done for the black community, which was more than anybody since Abraham Lincoln and maybe more than Abraham Lincoln. And ultimately, that black people were going to vote for him because he was doing all of these things for them. It's an interesting concept in itself. I can assure you black people don't like anybody suggesting that they have done something for them. Anyway, the bottom line is 20%, he was going to get 30%, he was going to get 35%. And what did he get? The same 8% that he always gets. And so here we go. We're going to walk our way up to November. And he's going to be predicting 90% of the black vote. And of course, he'll get his 8%, maybe. Because it could drop. He might get 5%. But 8 is probably the top. And, you know, here was a great example of what he's going to get. He went to Detroit. And this was just a few days ago. And I guess it was Saturday. And he went to a black church in Detroit in order to tell the black church what a great job he was doing for black people. The only problem was that the black church was filled with white people. They were all white. Where were the black people? Oh, they were somewhere except for in that church, because with Donald Trump there were no black people going. Unless Trump took out a few bucks and, you know, found somebody that he could talk into to joining them for a price. I hope they got a good price, because I can tell you right now, they were all white. Church full of white people as part of the outreach to black people. This is really going to be outstanding, because we're going to get right up to November, and there's going to be all this talk about what kind of vote Trump is going to get from the black community, and he's going to be looking at single digits once again. I mean, they'd go below that, but they can't. There's nothing below that. That's as far down as he can go. And, of course, that's November, and as I pointed out, by September, which is the day when Donald gets to sell all that stock he's got, by that day, I'm guessing that'll be sitting around $1, between 50 cents and $1 a share. So he'll have enough money to get something to eat. That's about all that's coming there. But I hope that I hope he's happy with what he's going to get from black people, because it's not going to be much. And in the meantime, Joe Biden did something today that was really an example of the kind of excellence that he has brought to the presidency, and I'm not even kidding now. Here's what he did. Through an executive order, he has guaranteed that the 500,000 people in the United States who are married to American citizens but who came from other countries and are currently undocumented, they will be able to stay here indefinitely, and they'll be on a path to citizenship. And it's sort of funny that anybody's even upset about it. Why would they be? I mean, these are 500,000 decent, hardworking Americans married to American citizens who want one thing: to fly the flag the right way instead of upside down. They want to be part of the real United States of America, not the guys who fly the flag upside down and then steal from donors because they can. And they do. So here we are. And I have to say that, you know, there was one person, I mentioned this the other day too, and that was from the Washington Post, Gene Robinson. Eugene Robinson, who's one of the editors over there now, he was talking about my favorite plan, which is really not a joke at all, and it's to send 1 million high school graduates to the border. When they get out of high school, let them go down there for 1 year between high school and college and let them help the people at the border so that they can fit into the United States, bring them across, open the border up, bring them in, give them a place to live, set up places for them to live down there, make it a school, let these young newly graduated high school students go down to the border and help these people to figure out what it is they have to do to get a Social Security card, to get a work permit, to get whatever it is they're going to need so that they can work here, so that they can live here, so that they can be the productive citizens that they want to be. Because really, the ones who commit the crimes are American citizens, not immigrants. And if the United States did this, we would be on the cutting edge of every country in the world, on the planet. Everybody would look to us and say, it's incredible what we're capable of doing. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. This place is really getting out of control. I can't believe that. But you having a problem, Vic? Is that?
No, we're just a meeting of nice conservatives.
I was going to say, you have to bring people around. I haven't noticed how you're walking. I'm not even sure. Yeah. But maybe you have to, like, have your own personal assistant in case you get into some trouble. Right? They can, you know, immediately begin an operation. Yeah.
So
that's good stuff. Okay. So, by the way, and you know, we're down the last 5 minutes, but you know, I'll tell you what I heard this morning, and you know, these fellows in the studio here, I'm sure, you know, you that's one thing that we all have in common, I'm about to tell you. And this was Chris Matthews who was describing it this morning. And I started laughing when I heard him. He was saying that last night he happened to be sitting up watching the Kennedy-Nixon debates. And I thought to myself, who would be watching a debate from 65 years ago except for some kind of political nutcase? All of us are in that category. You deny it?
Yeah. Before the deep state was full of
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to send you to the deep state at the end, you know, we'll set it up for you there. It's just like when they buried Stalin at the Kremlin. Then we're going to bury you guys in the deep state and you'll love it. Yeah, that's a good thing. Separate us. Yeah, well, no, I understand. They're not bothering me. I can't hear anything. Yeah. So, no, seriously, though, that was Chris Matthews this morning. And it was funny the way he described it. He said, yeah, I happened to be watching the Kennedy-Nixon debate last night. And I thought to myself, who would do that? Now, I would do it, and I do it. I certainly have my students watch it because they're history students. So that sort of makes sense. And, you know, but I also understand why somebody would do something like that in order to look back and sort of make comparisons with where we are. But, you know, if you're going to do that, you'd be much better off watching a documentary on somebody like Benedict Arnold. Now, that you might want to do. And that would give you some real insight into the guy that I call Benedict Donald, who truly is headed for what I've always said, which is the ash heap of American history. And they'll dump him off there with Joe McCarthy, and the two of those guys can reside in perpetuity. Sort of like Stalin in the Kremlin. Same thing. They did have to take Stalin out of the Kremlin for a little bit because they sort of rejected him briefly. But I don't know if people even realize that if you go to Russia, this is an amazing fact, the most popular person in Russia today is really Joe Stalin. That's the truth. People love him. There was a time where they thought that he was, you know, killing Russians and doing horrible things, and he did. I mean, they were right. But they sort of forgot about all that. And then after having forgotten that, they turned around and installed him back into this very important place in Russian history, which they love him. And actually, the reason they say they love him is because they say that he alone was responsible for defeating Hitler in World War II. They sort of forgot one person just briefly. They sort of forgot Franklin Roosevelt, but at any rate, they've got great love and affection for Joe Stalin. And, of course, Vladimir Putin aspires to that level of respect. But so far, he's not been able to get all the way there. And I guess that's why he's got Evan Gershkovitz over there. He's trying to figure out what he can do to make himself look as good as Stalin. But I have to say that the only thing he's going to do in the end, if he really wants to be successful, and I know he does, there's just one goal he's got, one aspiration he's got that really stands out, and that's this idea that he's come up with that by owning Donald Trump, he could actually acquire the United States of America, something that no other Russian has been able to do for 100 years. But he thinks he can do it using this useful idiot. And right now, this useful idiot's going to get out of here. Four showdown. Don't forget the St. Louis Suit Company and Jules on Hampton and, of course, Wendy's. And I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.